Hello, friends, and welcome to the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. We have another special guest today, this time local for me. Her name is Laura Johns, and she's the founder and chief executive officer of the Business Growers, Mississippi's only marketing firm focused on serving technology companies. At the Business Growers, her team serves 20 clients. I'm sorry, her team serves clients in 20 states,
That's right.
specializing in marketing strategy and implementation for B2B tech. In 18 months, guys, the Business Growers has grown to over 12 rock star employees. And it's hard to say sometimes you have rock star employees, but she truly does. They're
I
awesome. And I've met a few of them myself. Laura is passionate about empowering women. And she seeks to do so in her business and personal life whenever she gets that opportunity. So she currently hosts a podcast herself for business leaders and entrepreneurs, and it's called Know, Grow, and Scale with Laura Johns. And she also has another podcast for working moms called The Home and the Hustle. Laura, welcome to the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that introduction. I'm so glad to be here.
You're welcome. Glad to have you here. I always love talking with you. So
Yeah.
let's talk this morning about outsourcing versus hiring. I know that you went through that stage with
Yes.
your business, and it wasn't an easy thing to do. There's several pros and cons regarding hiring versus outsourcing. So let's talk a little bit about that and what is the
Yeah.
difference really between outsourcing and hiring?
Yes. So I think it comes down to, I don't want to say the word control. So control is probably not the best word, but the level of responsibility and engagement that you need from that person fulfilling that function. So I have, like you said, for a period of time outsourced and still do to an extent. I've also really felt like there have been, there is a threshold where outsourcing is valuable from a cost saving and task specific perspective. But when it comes to, like I said, not control, but the level of engagement and responsibility that you want that employee to have in your business, that is the single, I would say, defining factor between outsourcing versus hiring. Now, there are a lot of outlying factors, like how much money it's going to cost you, because yes, it
Exactly.
is more expensive, certainly more expensive to hire a full-time employee to an extent, though. And one of the things, and I don't want to jump ahead, but one of the things that I encourage any entrepreneur or business owner to think about when they think about outsourcing versus hiring is, what is it costing you as the business owner to manage that outsourced work?
And
So,
not just financially, but
yes, time
hourly
and resource.
time.
I mean, because time is money.
That's right. That's right.
So there are, going back to that responsibility and engagement, those two things. So what is the responsibility of this person, and what are my needs as an employer? So if I have, let's just say I have 50 clients, and I have a very unique, specific need for one client that no other client needs. Obviously, that's an easy, hey, I'm going to outsource this. As you know, of course, it all depends on, as you're defining what service offering specifics look like and things like that, you start to decide, okay, what are some of these outlier things that I'm outsourcing? And then also, again, you're having to manage, and in my line of business, we're the liaison between the client and the delivery of the product. So typically our account managers, client success managers, are the in between and the ones communicating with the client. But if you are having if you are having an increased need that you are outsourcing in your business and you need a level of responsibility as it increases to also increase a level of responsibility, a level of engagement, a level of commitment from that person. That's where I think a lot of business owners get frustrated. And we talked about this a little bit the last time we were together, Claudine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have learned in my business that I cannot and should not expect the same thing out of a contract employee that I would expect of a full-time employee. And that's just, I mean, that's the bottom line. Again, a lot of outlying things, but when you look at what it's costing you with time and the resources that you're spending to outsource, that's when you start. And you got to know your numbers too. That's
right.
Really important. You got to look at the bottom line and say, okay, what's this costing me with my time and what's this costing me financially?
Yes. Great. Great response to that. I love that. And you, there's so many key nuggets in here that I want to talk about. We could possibly have a part two of this. I'm trying to keep it brief and just hit the content hard. So yeah, so 70% of companies that are outsourced do so to minimize costs. We know that, right? But outsourcing isn't good for everybody. And you touched on a point too when I introduced you, Laura, that you outsource and you hire. So you do both.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
I want our listening audience to realize that outsourcing shouldn't necessarily be a permanent solution, or hiring doesn't have to be a permanent solution. You can intermingle.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. And you know, when you're starting, depending on how lean you are, you know, when I started my business, I could not afford to hire who I wanted to hire. Mm-hmm. So especially when you look at, and I'm a marketing agency, so I'm delivering web development. Well, web developers are not, you know, easy to come by and are also not cheap.
Yes.
So, you know, I looked at the workload, and you always, you know, also have to be conscious of your pipeline. I think this is kind of one of those things we don't talk about a whole lot, but it's not just what are my needs today, but looking at your bottom line, looking at your service offering over a period of time and saying, hey, what has grown, what services have grown, and what do I expect to need more of? Because I'm at a point, or I got to a point where I was not able to hire full time. I looked at my numbers. I saw what was in the pipeline and I realized, hey, this expensive hourly development person he's doing a great job, but you know what? I have six more websites coming up in the pipeline that I know could pay for someone full time. And so now it's my job to keep websites in the pipeline, because I did eventually turn into hiring a full-time employee to do web development when I realized, hey, this is in the pipeline. Here's what I have now. And here's what I'm paying this person on an hourly basis. Whereas, you know, with what's in the pipeline, it would be less expensive for me because I'm also having to manage the work, the communication back and forth. It would be less expensive for me to hire full-time.
Right. And so my next question was going to be, you know, how do you know which is really beneficial for your company, for your business, outsourcing or hiring? And you touched on it a little bit, but I do want to say, I just want to kind of cap a little bit, recap. And, you know, having an in-house team or hiring someone in-house is great if you're doing the same thing over and over, if that person's doing the same thing over and over, right?
Right.
So in other words, day-to-day operations.
Yep.
But that also...
Very task, anything that's very task oriented, that's a good thing to outsource. Yep.
That's right. So anything that becomes, I guess, more of a specialized skill is when you may need to consider outsourcing.
Yes. Yep.
Would you agree?
Yep. I would totally agree. Yes, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and some of the pros with having an in-house employee is, yes, you have a say in their salary. So right. That is pretty much set, right? And their schedule.
Yep. And you can call them after hours and not have to worry about them billing you for an after hour fee. That's always a perk as well.
That's right. Okay. So we try not to do that too often.
Right. I was going to say, not that I encourage that, but if I had to get a question answered, I could.
Yes. Yes. So they're readily available.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do have another big point.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the pros, you're listing out some pros. So I will add, and this has become really important to me this year, as we've started 2023. I'm currently nearly 2 years in to my business. I am beginning in the beginning phases of really solidifying our company culture. Ooh. And okay, that means that there are nuances to what you do as a company. There are core values that I require my team to uphold, which are trust, balance, and growth. Three things that are very important to us as a company. I can expect that and can keep our team accountable for that when they are working here full time. It is a bit more difficult to keep an outsourced employee, i.e. contractor, accountable because they are not full time. Therefore, they are not required to uphold our values. So what happens there, Claudine, is that you run into a culture issue sometimes. And this is, you know, again, there are so many benefits and pros to outsourcing, and it is necessary and it is a great value to your business. But when you start looking at the type of work you're outsourcing, like you just mentioned, anything that's a specialized skill, yes. But when you start thinking about how that outsourced employee is going to work and feed into your culture with your employees, that's an area to really watch and be cautious of, because what you really want to do is, if they are truly outsourced and a contractor, you want to treat them as such from a culture perspective and make sure that you're not, one, putting unrealistic expectations on that person, but two, that you're not you're communicating to your full-time staff their role, this outsourced person's role and responsibilities, and not just level setting on what the requirements are for that person versus a full-time employee. Because what you don't want is finger pointing when it comes to, you know, here's a big, you know, culture rub, and this is a big thing that, you know, we talk about and we uphold, but one person's not responsible for upholding it. That's when you really, you know, have to make sure that there are clearly defined boundaries internally and with that contractor or person that you're outsourcing to.
And that's a great point. And it's not to say that you want to almost treat your contract, you know, sure, contractor.
As an outsider.
Yes, exactly. But you want to establish what your core values are, what your company missions are, what your brand is. You want to make sure that contract employee knows that and is comfortable with that.
That's
and you want to treat everyone as if they're on the team. I say that with my clients all the time. Look, it's a team effort. Not one person is going to, you know, contribute more or feel like, I don't want them to feel like they're doing more than the other. So with that being said, you need to treat them like a team member, because at the end of the day, you never know. That contract employee could, Laura, become your full-time or part-time employee.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, it goes back and forth. I mean, we could go, there are just pros and cons to everything.
There are. And it really boils down to what is best for your business. I've had scenarios where, you know, again, kind of going back to that specialized skill, I've had areas where, you know, I have one or two projects that need to be completed for a client, and it just does not make financial sense for me to hire somebody full time for this, because I don't know if I'll ever see it as a need again. Like, that's a clear outsourcing. But I'm also not going to bring that person into our, you know, day to day, you know, operations from a culture perspective. I'm not going to require the same thing of that person as I would from a, you know, accountability standpoint. It's just, you have to really, again, go back to set boundaries, but you have to make sure that there is a clear definition of what the role is. Again, not discrediting your culture and making sure they understand what your culture is, but you certainly just have to set those boundaries and definition up front.
Yes, I totally agree. And you also have to make sure that they're easily adaptable as well.
Yeah.
So that's really, really important.
Yeah.
Laura, I want to ask you this too. How many employees have you hired since getting started 2 years ago?
Yes. So I started day one with one employee, which was actually very scary for me. And I will say hiring full time does get easier the more you do it. It's kind of like, you know, a new exercise or learning a new skill. The if you practice, it makes perfect. So the first employee I hired, I did it really as a risk. It was my first day separated from my former employer. I was starting June 1st of 2021. And I had a college graduate that was a full-time employee. Everything else was outsourced. So it was just the two of us. We were running a business. We had a handful of clients. Since then, I have outsourced until the numbers didn't make sense. So essentially, I'm taking a close look at the bottom line every month. Well, you know, one particular example is writing, copywriting. So I was writing a little bit. Grace on my team was writing a little bit. And then I was outsourcing the rest. And then I started looking at the numbers and realized, hey, I'm spending a good salary on outsourced writing. And the issue was too, I was outsourcing to six or seven different people. And so I was managing personally six or seven different people. And also on top of that was paying, you know, all these different people. So I realized that was a quick recognition of a hire that I needed to make. But to answer your question, 12. So in less than 2 years, I've hired 12 full-time employees. They specialize in skill set. I do have one full-time web developer. I have two full-time graphic designers. I have a vice president of operations. I would say probably my most critical hire thus far. And then also I have client success managers that are managing all of the accounts, all of them very important hires. My VP of operations, who is actually helping me manage the day-to-day, that was just most critical in getting me out of the day-to-day work and you know, kind of transitioning my role to business development.
So what's been your easiest hire or your hardest hire?
Easiest hire or hardest hire? Let's see. Easiest hire was probably, even though I said, you know, Grace, I would say easiest and hardest was Grace, my first. And I know that doesn't make sense, but easiest in terms of I knew I didn't want to do this alone. I had previously owned a business and knew at that time in that season, I did not want to grow and hire a bunch of people. I just wanted to do some consulting work on my own. I did not want to grow it and manage people. So easiest when I started this new business, the Business Growers, I knew that I was building this to grow it. And so I knew that I didn't want to start on my own because I had two young kids at home. And quite frankly, I did not want to live and breathe work. So Grace was the easiest in that regard, but also the hardest because I knew that Grace gets paid before I get paid.
Laura, tell our audience who Grace is. I know
Grace,
who Grace is,
yes. Yes,
but
you met Grace.
what's
So I'm
her
sorry.
role?
Grace is today, she's marketing operations manager, but not for a client. She's managing the operations of the business. So she's supporting me today, and it's taken us a while to get here. We both have worked, done client work up until this point, and we are right now making a transition where I'm not directly involved in the day-to-day work of the clients, and neither is she. We're both focusing on developing our brand and our business. So that's been a shift. But when she started, she was managing client accounts. I was managing client accounts. When I hired her, I knew that she was going to be my right-hand gal from this point forward. So she is now transitioning into that role for me, where she's assisting me. She's helping me with my pipeline and my calendar, and really managing the operations of the marketing and development of the business and the brand. But when we first started, she was my first hire, and I was essentially, I've got to have a wingman. I've got to have somebody who can help me fill in all the gaps. And so she has seen us in the low, and then, you know, now, and of course, there are highs and lows every day. But as we have grown to 12 employees, her role is shifting, as is mine. But she was also, again, simultaneously the hardest because she was full time, I was offering her but health insurance and benefits, and I was offering her a salary that she could live on and, you know, get her own apartment and pay her car note and things like that. So hardest in that regard, that I knew that, you know, I was all of a sudden accountable to more than just paying an invoice. It was her livelihood. And that's where you really, I think, start to have you know, to really think about hiring those full-time employees. And is this somebody that I see long-term here? Because I don't want to just, this is not a 90-day investment, you right. know?
And that's a good way to look at it too. You're wanting to grow your business. Right. So the first hire, with that being said, should really be, like you said, your wingman or someone that is in charge of business operations to take that stress and burden off the business owner as well. Okay, great. Thanks for that. So what hire has been the most critical for your company's growth, or, you know, what advice would you give on that most critical hire?
Yes. So this comes from, I can't take credit for this, the way that I'm going to say this, but there's a man by the name of Frank Cowell that I interviewed on my No Grow Skill podcast that I can provide you the link with if anyone's interested in looking at that. But he is, he coaches agency owners. And so he's a great resource for agency owners. He has an organization called Revenue Ranch talking about scaling and growing a marketing agency. But he says, and I'm going to botch the way he says it, but you can't be responsible for adding new clients and keeping existing clients. You have to pick one. And as a business owner, it's whichever one you prefer. You know, if you're the CEO, you can decide, would you rather be in charge of keeping the client or would you rather be in charge of getting new clients? I personally prefer getting new ones. And I feel like right now in the stage of my business, I'm the best person to do that and to sell the products and services. But Vicky is my vice president of operations. So she manages the day-to-day and actually everyone directly reports to her other than Grace. So she is managing the quality of the work, the processes, the relationships with our existing clients. And when I say she, I mean her team. But essentially, I knew very quickly, and she was my fourth hire. So I knew very quickly she was going to be at my biggest investment thus far. She's got more experience than I do, but she loves and truly thrives on managing people. And that was really important to have somebody in that position, because I knew that as I'm growing the business and developing, you know, revenue opportunities, I couldn't also simultaneously work on, you know, quality of work, making sure the day-to-day is handled, making sure our people are running smoothly, that type of thing. So she is vice president of operations. She has been a very critical hire. And I would say as soon as you can decide as a business owner, whether you want to be the one growing the business or keeping the business, then you can decide who to fill. And that's also, I mean, I say Grace is my wing woman in terms of, you know, really helping support me. Vicky is my wing woman in terms of really supporting the processes and what keeps the business running. Mm-hmm. So she's 100% been a blessing and a great hire. I've been very, very thankful and blessed to have got some good ones. So they are all rock stars, like I said.
Yeah, they're rock stars. You have a really great team, and I've seen that firsthand. So one thing I do want to touch on is we should really consider a person's skills and personality when hiring. Your company culture is everything, right? I think that both skills and personality are important to consider when, you know, if you're hiring somebody and bringing someone onto your team. You want to also make sure that your potential employee has the right skill set. It's great, right, Laura, to say, oh, this person would be a great fit for this company. But how do you know that? Do they have the skill set? And then you also have to look at their personality. Yes. Because maybe they have it on paper, but it's really not what they enjoy doing. And if right. they don't enjoy doing it, then that's going to kind of go down the drain or go left, right?
Right. So I have two comments to that. One is unpopular opinion, probably, but I don't believe in personality tests. Mm. I actually have a very good friend who owns a business in Birmingham, Alabama called Good Job. They are the number one pre-hire assessment software in the country. They actually hire based on workplace traits and behaviors, not personality, or they assess workplace traits and behaviors. So what that means is before I hire someone, I have them take what they call the PATH assessment. And essentially that tells me what their workplace traits and behaviors are. And for each job role or job function, I know who my rock stars are, and I know what type of workplace traits and behaviors I need to replicate. So they are able to, with their software, bubble up who is most likely to be a top performer before I hire them, not after. A lot of times you see people doing assessments as a last step in a hiring process.
Yes.
And good job does this before you would even do a first interview. Really? So it's a real, yes, it's a very cool software. So I would say, number one, look into something that doesn't just assess personalities, because personality can only get you so far. You know, what I want to know is what are the workplace behaviors of my rock stars?
That's right.
And how do I replicate that? The second thing is, you also have to be open as you grow to shifting someone's job role.
Yes.
If they are, and I have a great example of that, if they are inclined to do other things, or maybe you see potential in them in other areas, or maybe they are not happy where they are, if they have the behaviors and traits that you feel like are high quality in the workplace, then you have to be open as a business owner to shifting their job function. One in particular, I had an employee that started as just a client success manager. She was responsible for communicating with our clients. She quickly realized that she had a knack for search engine optimization and really was interested in learning more about that. So I provided her with opportunities to get education on that. We have a partner that we work with that provides that we outsource to. Uh-huh. That does a very detailed and really holistic offering in terms of SEO. But what she's done is come alongside them. And right now she is in a hybrid role where she's doing a little bit of both, but we have a cutoff for this summer. So this summer she will transition into our SEO product specialist. So she was very quick to say, I'm very interested in this, which I appreciate transparency there. Of course, she's always got a place here. So we just made it work and we have a transition plan. It doesn't mean that today we're able to flip a switch and put her in a different position, but it does mean that we're going to work toward making sure that she's in a role that she will thrive in.
That's a great example, Laura. So at the end of the day, planning and strategy really are important parts of the process. Okay, we've got to do some research. You've got to not say, hey, this person would be a great fit, but why? Why would they be a great fit? What do they enjoy doing? And having a clear picture of the kind of person that you really want for the role will really, it'll help you make a right decision, the right decision every time. And please make sure that they fit into your company culture.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Laura. So we're near the end of our podcast here, and I always close with these two questions. So if our listening audience could have one takeaway from what we talked about today, what would that one takeaway be?
You know, I really think establishing your culture and your values up front is the number one, because that's really going to be what drives the right person, whether they are a full-time employee or they are outsourced. So if you don't know what your values are and what your company values are, you know, personally and as a company, a lot of times it's the same if you are a business owner and your company cultures, your company values are the same. If you don't know that, then there's really going to be a lot of moving targets when it comes to how your employees and your outsourced team members respond and react in a workplace environment. So I would just say, knowing that up front and communicating that to employees and to contractors is really important, because that's going to be what leads you ultimately to being successful, making sure that that stays aligned, that those expectations are set up front. It really doesn't matter what type of employee they are, as long as you know that they are aligned with your culture.
I agree. And again, communicating that. You may know what your company culture is, but you've got to communicate it and make sure that you communicate it repeatedly as well.
Exactly.
Okay. So what is the one piece of advice, Laura, that you wish someone had given you when starting your business? I know this is your second business, but let's go back to the first business.
Okay. Honestly, this is not about hiring. This is about interfacing with the customer. So I would say, be confident in your services. and don't give a steak away at a hamburger price.
I've seen it happen so many times.
You don't go to a restaurant, a steak restaurant, and ask, you know, or excuse me, a burger restaurant, and ask for a steak at the price of the burger.
Yeah.
And your services are valuable. If people are paying X dollars, then other people will pay X dollars.
Right.
You have to know and work within, you know, a framework that's profitable for you. And the first couple of months of my business, I was taking all the business I could get. I was, you know, letting the customer determine, you know, their budget determine my value. And that, you know, came to a screeching halt when I realized that I wasn't profitable. My second piece of advice, I know you only asked for one, but my second piece of advice, if you're in an agency environment, time tracking has saved me. And I know this is
maybe
an unpopular opinion, but time tracking, my full-time team time tracks, my contractors time track. We know at any given moment how much any customer or any client of ours is costing us from a time perspective. And that has been critical to have some hard conversations with clients. So not hard conversations, but just conversations with clients about how much time we're spending and the value we're bringing versus the investment. So those are two things. One, you know, make sure you're time tracking if you're in a client serving environment. And then also, what was my second piece of advice? Oh yeah. Just make sure that that you understand the value of your products and services and you're not selling yourself short.
Yes. Those are great pieces of advice. We talked about, knowing what your mission, your value is for your company, know what the value is for you. Right?
Yep.
That's super important. And then time track, if you don't know how much time you're spending on a project, then you're undercutting yourself, right?
Absolutely. And your employees too.
And your employees. That's right. Great advice, Laura. Thank you so much. So Laura, where can my listening audience find you?
So my company, The Business Growers, you can find us at thebusinessgrowers.com. We're also The Biz Growers on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter and, of course, LinkedIn. I'm personally on LinkedIn. Laura Pickard Johns is my name on LinkedIn. And I would love for anyone to connect. I would love to talk more. I honestly, this really gives me life to be able to talk about business growth and also talking about empowering women in the workplace is very important to me. So those are all things you'll see me talking about on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Laura, it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Colleen. I enjoyed it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Anytime. You're welcome back anytime. I know that we just touched a little bit on this subject, but there's so much more to talk about. Thank you again, Laura, for joining us today on the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast. My friends, you can listen to more of the Virtual Ingenuity Business Podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. So be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and comment. Until next time, my friends, let's impact together.